Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In this episode, we're on to coping strategy number 6, and that's going to be food. We're going to talk about how do you use food in your life to help you cope with dyslexia. You know, I think everyone who's listening to this has some feeling. There's a connection. I'm sure many of you have your own hypothesis. Some of you may have dug even deeper into this. But I'm going to share my views, what I do in my personal life, and how I use it to cope when it works and when it doesn't. So let's dive into it. Okay, so food is a coping strategy. I'm sure many of us are pretty sure that we've all got some sort of eating, maybe a challenge, maybe it's not a positive coping strategy in some cases, but we've all used food at some point to elicit a different state in our bodies, right? When things feel the worst, maybe you're someone who turns to ice cream, maybe you're a snacker, maybe you've got the standard ADHD diet of not eating much at all in the morning until about 1 or 2 o'clock, eating something small and then binging later in the evening. That's a real ADHD way of using food to stimulate. There's a heap of different ways food impacts those of us with neurodiversity. And I think the key to think about this is the truth about dyslexia is that dyslexia doesn't travel alone. You've usually got a bit of ADHD, a bit of autism, a bit of something in you, you know, that causes a bunch of challenges. And the majority of us, very few have all the diagnoses correct, well balanced. You know, the challenge is not everything plays nicely with each other, should we say. And in this crazy world, I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. So we're trying to find these coping strategies. So what has worked with food for me and what hasn't? Now, before I dive into that, I just want to say this is not about nutrition, health. There are other podcasts I talk about what supplements I take, talk about weight loss, fitness, health and nutrition in general. This podcast is how do we use food to cope with dyslexia, and where do we have to be a bit conscious of it, and where can it work well? Because it's really important for us to get this part right, because it kind of elicits the rest of it. You know, I'll give you a great example where, you know, the dyslexic mind will work better, it will cope better if it is on a healthier and more nutritious diet. Now, what does that mean? Because everyone's got a different picture of nutrition and health. And what I would say is what I've learned is with the way my brain works, I can very easily detach from eating food. And so what do I mean from that? And this is probably some people might connect with this, is you can find yourself watching television and just shoveling food into your mouth. Maybe it's playing on your phone and shoveling food into your mouth. And you're not even quite connected to when you're full or not. It just happens. It's because the act of eating food is very slow and boring. 9 times out of 10, you need something to keep your mind active. And so I know in the past, food is being used to increase dopamine stimulation, which is a key factor in neurodiversity, the need for it, especially in the ADHD side. And so when we're eating food to kind of cope, you know, we're kind of hit by a two-factor thing. One, it's too boring to eat sometimes, so you're trying to keep yourself stimulated while you're eating. But because of that, and using that as a coping mechanism, it leads to negative impacts. And I've experienced this over my life. I've become very conscious of it. It doesn't mean that I catch myself all the time. It doesn't mean that sometimes I need that kind of stimulation. But what I've learned when it comes to food and coping strategies is the 3-hour rule is something that's really important. Now, I've tested fasting for periods of time, and it's worked sometimes. My challenge personally is that once I'm out of that fast, I overeat very badly, and it doesn't really help. Now, some people listening to this may find fasting valuable, but I've found it very challenging. And for a long period, I kind of lied to myself and said it was working really well, when actually it wasn't. It wasn't actually a healthy use of fasting. And I'm not going to get into the arguments for and against it, but the way my brain worked, in part, it sometimes worked, but it wasn't a strong worker. So what I've learned, what I've been taught, is the three-hour rule. So if you want to use food to cope, make sure you're eating at least on a three-hourly basis. Small meals over big meals work better for our brains. It's super powerful. You know, when I'm feeling low energy, I can sometimes be sitting there and going, I just feel so low in energy. I don't know why. Maybe it's the dyslexia, maybe it's ADHD, maybe it's the way my brain works. And then I take a moment and go, oh, I haven't eaten for 7 hours. Do you know what I mean? So the body is running on, is not running on fuel that's inside it. And so it can be, you know, it's not, you know, what am I trying to say? Fresh glucose or fresh fuel or however you want to eat. It's not running on stuff that's there, right? And the minute the body has to draw from fat in other areas, it may be great for your waistline, but it takes a lot of energy to do that for majority of us. Now, I'm sure people listening to this are going to have a billion different nutrition questions, different nutrition opinions. Now, just be aware, there are millions of ways of doing different things. What I'm trying to say here is some rules for using food for coping. So I personally make sure that I run the 3-hour rule. I try and eat every 3 hours, even if it's as small as a couple of handfuls of nuts or a protein bar. I've got these protein shakes I really like. And again, just having something with some energy in it for your body to work on perks you up. Like before I recorded this podcast, I had a smoothie about an hour ago when I was feeling really low, and bam, straight up again, which was really valuable. And the old me would have just kept going and started blaming something else, but I just needed something in my belly. So simple as that. We've also got to be very, very conscious of, you know, when it comes to food, we've got to be very conscious of things like caffeine. And I will do a different episode on coffee because I do use it as a coping strategy. But it's very, you've got to do it in the right ways. If you do have too much coffee, for example, your food triggers are potentially already pretty poor. Your ability to feel your body and your fullness and your satiedness. What am I trying to say here, guys? When it comes to coffee, you just got to be very careful. You don't just drink that all morning, not eat much, and go, hey, I wasn't even hungry. And it's just due to the false sense that coffee can give your body. So it's really, really important to be aware of that and to not completely bypass food for coffee in itself. I've also realized, and again, this probably follows quite easily in with the 3-hour rule, my body operates better with smaller meals across a longer period of time. As I say, for years I tested fasting, I tested one large meal kind of processes, and it didn't really work. I became sluggish after a large meal. My body literally seems to drain whatever executive function I have left and pour it into the digestion system. So that doesn't work as a coping strategy. It actually causes more pain. You know, so what I've found is smaller, sharper meals work. And that doesn't have to be a specific type of meal. It doesn't have to be a calorie set. I don't, you know, again, that's not what this is about. But it's about having small, sharper amounts. And I'll give you an example. One meal could be a piece of fruit, and I had a glass of vegetable juice that I really like. You know, and how attractive that sounds. But that gives me a real pickup and a real push to keep going. Like our brains, just remember the dyslexic mind is running on, you know, it's running very fast the way it works. Visually, it's operating at a very high tick. And so it needs energy to do that and the right energy. You know, it needs, you know, if you're popping the right type of fruit and vegetables in, meats, you know, whatever it is at the right times, you know, you get an uptick. You know, and everyone will have their own way. We'll have all experienced things in different ways. But food is such a vital tool we can use in our coping strategies. And again, there isn't we sometimes all wish there was a 7-day eating plan that we could just follow and everything would be perfect. But deep down, I think we all know we would probably stick to it for 2 weeks. We'd get lost. We'd come out with a new idea and run down a different pathway. And before we know it, we'd be back to square one, right? So you've got to kind of work this out for you intuitively using a few principles that I'm saying today. For example, like the shorter meals, not having over-caffeinated periods where you can't hear your body. You know, those things, you know, I know they seem really little, but I know for me, the more I implement them, the better I feel, the better my processing and digestion goes. And when that's working, my brain's working and I'm operating better, you know, in life. You know, I just feel better for it. And I know, you know, I used to, the thing that I hate the most in the world is when someone goes, you've just got to eat a nutritious diet, which some idiot has come up with, right? Because what does that mean? You know, anyone with dyslexia is like, their brain goes a million times and they just basically say to themselves, whatever I'm eating isn't good enough. That's all that comes out of that, right? So don't get beaten up by having the perfect diet. What happens one day will not affect the rest of your life. What you do consistently will. So what you want to do is you want to test and measure things. If something makes you feel better, do it more. You know, become more consistent with it. And also what I'd recommend if you're trying to use food as a good coping strategy is don't try and change everything you do in one day, right? Like if you have a really poor habit of maybe not eating for the first 6-7 hours of the day, how can you install a very small amount of food earlier in the day? How can you install that in yourself? And so that you start the day that way, you know, what could you create something that's relatively healthy and packaged? It doesn't have to be perfect, but, you know, just something that you can bring, that you enjoy, and you can move forward with. Because, you know, fueling your body is so important. Giving your brain the right amount of the ability to create glucose easily, it will have an uptick in your afternoon, and you will have a better day. So that's my opinion, guys. I'm sure everyone has a million opinions. But give it a try, and it's a coping strategy that I use on a daily basis. Until next time, have an epic day.